Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for this fellowship that we have from all over the place. Got people in Africa and Canada and the U.S. and probably people from all over listening. Lord, we thank you for this avenue of outreach that we have. I don't feel really like it's an outreach so much as I feel like it's a local fellowship that we have on Tuesday and Thursday night. Because you've made it that way, Lord. You've brought our hearts together, and it's just awesome to listen to the testimonies and to listen to the revelations that you've given us. And it all seems to work to bring about a good teaching and listening and learning experience for all of us, because we all play a part, Lord. I got a part, but everybody else has got a part too. And Father, we just thank you for doing that for each one of us. We ask, Lord, that your gifts be in evidence in each of us during the week so that we can give out words that you've given us or whatever it is, Lord. And we praise you for that. We thank you, Lord, for this avenue of communications that we have. And we just appreciate it so much that we're able to do it. I don't know how much longer we're going to be able to do it. I hope that you show us that you can do anything, that you can make it an avenue for all of us that would be secure. And, Father, we thank you for that. Now, I command that hurricane not to kill anybody in Jesus' name. And when it hits, it's just going to put out rain. And, Lord, not only that, not too much rain either, that it would flood people and endanger people's lives. Lord, I just thank you for that. Now, if this is one of your judgments, Lord, and you know, the prayer of mine is not going to be a whole lot of good, but I just ask that you save all your chosen and those that you've designated as yours, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for what you're going to do tonight in each one of us. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Praise you, Father. We're all right. Has anybody got a prayer request? Let me get me a slip of paper here. Well, I can write them down so I can pray during the week, too. Any testimonies or praise reports or prayer requests, we just get them all at once. Hey, Dave. Hey, Don. Well, wait a minute, Don. You can't talk unless you unmute yourself. Let me unmute you. Go ahead, brother.
I've been using my Linux to go on, but wouldn't go on tonight, so I using my Windows 10.
Okay. I generally use that sometimes, too. Works great.
You do what sometimes?
Windows 10. I do it sometimes when I'm, you know, in Arkansas, I use that Windows 10 unit. Laptop, yeah.
I usually go on to the Linux Mint.
Well, sometimes you need it. You know, your breath stinks a little bit, and you have to have a Linux Mint. Hey, you didn't hear that, did you?
No, I didn't.
That probably got real quiet. Okay, brother. All right, anybody got a prayer request or a praise report? Testimony. Amen. Amen. Tickle box turned upside down. Hey, Dave. All right. Well, I got a testimony. Go ahead, Dave. You go ahead.
I'll talk real quick. I just had another conversation again with this woman that's a Catholic. And, you know, she was really factious up to a couple years ago. And then, you know, she started talking to us and getting intermingled with a few of us. And then She turned hard left farther into the Catholic Church, and I thought, boy, she's gone, you know, because we were, she was getting pressed by another girl about being baptized, you know. Didn't want to let go of her infant baptism in the Catholic Church, and that's fine. I wasn't going there. But she got so factious, nobody really wanted to talk to her. So, and then she started talking like she knew what she was talking about, and we were explaining, well, you need to read the scriptures. And the other woman was. And so she really delved into the scriptures. And you know, like anybody else, a newbie just has your own ideas about things, and especially the Catholic doctrine and what's right and what's wrong. But, you know, I talking with her today, and she's really come around a lot. The Lord's really done a really good work on her heart and on her, on what she knows now scripturally. And I think it helped that maybe about 2 or 3 months ago, I mentioned about the real gospel is Jesus Christ in you, the hope of glory. And I said, that's not being taught. And because at first I said, well, the real gospel is not being taught. Well, what's that? And I said, well, Jesus Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's the gospel. That's the good news. And so she's kind of latching hold on that a little bit, and then she's reading more and more, and just, you know, it's almost like talking to a whole new person. I mean, she's totally sold on the Lord, totally sold on just running after the Lord and listening to Him. She doesn't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit yet, but she does. She prays all the time. She just seeks Him and seeks truth, and just so it's like I'm just totally amazed. I'm talking to somebody that's like just on fire for the Lord, but still doesn't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but still being led correctly in a lot of things, you know, a lot of all the bad stuff starting to fall off. She's not bringing up her Catholic doctrine anymore. And not that I know that she's totally probably let go of things, but I'm just amazed at how far she's come along in the last couple of years, what the Lord's done with some of these people. Now, I'm not saying it happens in everybody in the church. I'm not saying that that's what's happening. But I'm seeing it happen with this woman, and I'm thinking, wow, you know, and she is asking me tough questions today. Those, you know, some of that stuff is the stuff she asked, she would give you questions too. You would sit there and think, well, I don't understand what you're asking, because we're kind of in the walk and we got the Spirit of the Lord in us. And I'm not trying to say we're a super group, but what happens is you take for granted the things that you know and feel and do, and just assume that you're going to be led by God and you know all these things. You just know in your heart. And she's kind of, you know, wondering, well, how do you know? How do you know this? How do you know that? And it's like, you know, and I think, well, I don't know what to tell you, but it's kind of natural. And it's kind of something that just happens. You just have it. I says, and that's about the only thing you're missing is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I says, you need that. Because I know they're told from whenever age that they've got it. But that's the only thing I can come to conclusion at the end of things is, well, you need this baptism. That's what really seals things. So man, we're getting her on that direction. Maybe hopefully sometime, not that I can get her on this conference call because she works till 10. So by the time she gets off, you know, we're done. But sometimes I'll get her, if I can get her to cooperate, maybe I can get her on a phone call with a few people and we'll get her baptized in the Holy Spirit, if she'll agree to that and all. But anyways, just quick follow-up on what's happening with her. Name's Nina. I'm really impressed. I will pray. Father, thank you for bringing Nina into your fellowship. I prayed about that, you know, years back. I was really concerned about her and her factiousness, and it's just disappeared, and she's become a whole new spirit. And I see Christ's Spirit alive and well in her, and I'm just so impressed with you, Father, the things that you can do, you know, behind the scenes that nobody sees what's going on in the heart. And you say not to judge things before its time, and that's an absolute truth. And thank you, Father, for humbling me and showing me your work and your abilities. And just trusting in your, we pray that it'll come true. We just have to wait for it to happen. I know we all wish it would happen faster, maybe with some others that we see in our life, but, you know, if you call them, Lord, they're going to come. We thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus.
Amen. We believe with Dave that this is going to happen. Lord, I just ask and I pray that, did you give her a sovereign God?
No, I haven't. I don't think so. I'll have to find out. I might have. I've given them out. I'll find out. I got one. Good well, question.
If she'll read that, she'll come across some stuff there about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I believe, I think, if I remember correctly.
I get reading it, and I move on to something else by accident. So I never get fully through it. I've listened to it a number of times, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. All right. Well, thank you, Lord, that we just believe with David. This woman is going to come right straight on into the kingdom with a mighty will for you, Lord, and we just praise you for it. Thank you, Lord. Amen. That's a good praise report.
You know, she said something to me today. It just blew it. Like blew me away. She says, "Well, yeah, you have to have this absolute surrender." And I, wow, where'd you come up with that? That's I wrote a book on that.
That's the truth. That's the truth. Praise God. Amen. All right. Anyone else got a praise report, testimony, or would like to pray about something? Yeah, Joe.
Well, I got a testimony. I don't remember if you heard it when I was up or when I was down there, Michael. Actually, you know, just the past several weeks, month, you know, since it's like once you finally open the floodgates of and you believe and exercise your faith, you know, I've been seeing all these healings lately, but just, you know, I think one of those things I've heard, or one of those things that really kind of got me, you know, I thought, really? I really, really didn't at first believe it. You know, you can ask God for anything. He'll meet, you know, like practically anything, you know. And I thought, wow, interesting. You know, that was something that was hard to grasp at first. But as I was on the way up to or the way down to Tennessee this past weekend, of course, last Thursday, for those who remember, I had, received healing on my shoulder. And so I had a good physical day at work that, you know, the next day. I thought, well, okay, I feel a little bit more loosened and, I felt better to work a little harder. So, I mean, I got a little more physical than I usually do at work. So I was kind of driving down a little tired. And I found myself in Kentucky there a bit, dozing off a little bit. You know, my eyes were getting heavy. I felt that, because I think, like, I stopped by the gas station before I hit the road and grabbed a coffee. I mean, I never drink coffee, so I thought, well, let me try to find something to wake me up, you know, or keep me going. And then I remember I found myself a little bit almost dozing off, you know, my eyes were getting heavy, and I just felt that. I was like, oh, man, you know, so I just, all of a sudden, I was just like, well, God, you're going to have to wake me up here. You know, I said something like that, and then instantly, I felt that heaviness come off my eyes. I felt that heaviness, you know, almost around my whole body. And then the rest of the way down, I mean, I was almost halfway, you know, driving through the mountains or beginning to down in Kentucky. And yeah, the rest of the way was smooth sailing. You know, I didn't have any issues with any of the drowsiness or anything that comes with feeling tired. And I thought, oh, amen. So, I was praising the Lord after that. I thought, wow, I've never really just kind of flat out asked for like a need of that, you know, and just, like I said, you know, once you begin to really believe, you just, the floodgates come open, and then, you know, you just start asking and the Lord starts answering. So, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Anyone else? I got a little testimony. I got a call from Blake, my grandson, and he had an experience last night with demons in his house, and it frightened him, scared him a little bit, and then he got to thinking about what we always talked with him about, you know, about rebuking him and sending him on their way. He has that authority. But he had seen a pit bull demon in the bed with his 2-year-old daughter, and it was he said it was, he was all excited, and he said the demon was in there and he didn't know what to do, and then he saw demons in the room and things like that. And what he did was he just finally got mad at them because they were attacking his daughter and his wife too. They were attacking, you know, the whole house. And he just got mad at him and started rebuking him and telling him, get out in the name of Jesus. And, of course, they left. And we talked for about an hour and a half this afternoon. There's a whole lot more to it. I don't want to get into a lot of it because it's just basically what it was is later on when he called me this afternoon, he went back to the house. He's still kind of scared, you know, getting in that house. And so I said, well, go on back in and we'll pray. I had David and Brandy with me. And we just prayed those things out of there. The funny thing was, he said, Papa, I said, I've never seen this. He said he left grass on my kitchen floor where he walked across the floor, the demon did. It was a man-like demon, kind of a shadow that he saw. And he said he opened up all of my cupboards, doors. And then we prayed, and he never shut them. We prayed, and he said, hey, you don't believe what happened. They're all shut. I said, well, that's because they had to leave and clean up for the left. You know? But anyway, a little lesson there for him to learn how to do spiritual warfare for his family. And the Lord told him, he cried out to the Lord, said, Lord, why is this happening to me? And the Lord told him, it's because of your fear and your unforgiveness. And so he understood, you know, what it was, because him and his wife had been fighting over little stuff, you know. You know how young couples do sometimes. Anyway, he had a come to Jesus moment, and he's actually surrendered, and he's gonna be a mighty man of God now. Had a friend of the family's that had told my oldest daughter, actually a friend of hers, that was a charismatic Christian, not charismatic so much as Pentecostal, and full gospel. And she said she'd been praying for Blake, and the Lord told her that exact same thing. Said, yeah, he's going to be one of my mighty men of God. Said he's grooming him for that. So. Praise God. You know, he's told me that a long time, for many years. And I just keep believing. And he's done it. He's doing a work in it. This guy went from the depths of prison and the depths of hell up to where he is now. He's been to hell and back, literally. And now he's working for God. Praise the Lord. Okay, that's my little short testimony there. Anybody else?
Well, that's good news, Michael.
Yes, it is. He's been calling me quite regularly lately, and that's always a good sign to me, because before, when he was on the stuff, you know, he wouldn't talk to me because he knew he was messing up. iPad Judy and Miss Sue. Sue G. Amen. Okay. Like I was saying before, y'all, I had, y'all remember Julie. She sent me a link to Mentally Graben's latest word, and it's a very sobering word. It's not but about 35 minutes long or something like that. Do y'all mind if I play that? For y'all. What about it, Andrew? Is that okay? All right. Let me see what I can do about getting it up here.
Michael, it's 51 minutes something.
I'm going to skip the first part of it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm gonna try to get right on into the... deal there. Get me, just bear with me here.
Hi, Saints. This is Mila Grubbin coming. People, and the Lord spoke, and he said, because they chose the man over me, he said, they will go into battle believing that I am with them, and I will not be with them, and many will perish. Right. Now that was part one. So from then on, I went into, but I'm not one to have open visions too often. They have covered this group of people. And so when I first saw it, I thought, oh, how pretty, you know, like a veil. You know, you think of veil, you think of, you know, weddings, you think of something, you know, beautiful, something to do with weddings or a bride or what have you. And that was my thought when I first saw this veil fall over these people. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, no, like he corrected me immediately. He corrected my thoughts, okay? And he immediately was like, no, this is a veil of deception. And I thought, okay, a veil of deception. And so I continued to watch. And as this veil fell over this crowd of people, they went unnoticing, continued to talk and gesture and laugh and have conversations with each other. Everyone in this group was getting along just fine, okay? And the next thing I know, as I look off into the distance, I saw movement. You know, dark images moving in, okay? And as it got closer and closer and closer, I noticed it was like an enemy camp, okay? These were like soldiers dressed in, they were dressed in black. Like, when I say black, I mean like black armory. It was ancient, like medieval almost armory, but it was black. And they had spears, they had javelins, whatever. They were moving in, and they were encircling this group of people, okay? And they were getting closer and closer and closer and closer. So it was the enemy approaching. And the people that were underneath this veil, they had no idea. They didn't know what was happening. They didn't know what was coming. They were still just under the veil, and they were laughing and talking and gesturing. And no one seemed to see that the enemy, which was far more numbered than they were, was then closing in on them. Okay, they could not see it. And so anyways, and so the Lord spoke to me, and I'm still watching this, and I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, they're gonna close in on these people. And the Lord spoke and he said, because they chose the man over me, he said, they will go into battle believing that I am with them, and I will not be with them, and many will perish. All right, now that was part one. So from then on, I went into another vision where I saw blood in the streets, I saw violence, I saw terrible things happening within the country. And it was flashing in front of me. And anyways, the Lord told me two things. He told me two things. He said, there is a war coming to the Christians and the Jews. He said the Jews and then the Christians. He said, I think the Jews first. And I think that that's important that it was given to me in that order. I believe, at least from what I understand, to the Jews and to the Christians. He said a war. And he said that there would be blood on the streets. Like those were his words. And so, and he told me that it would not happen until certain policies and laws would be passed first. And then he said it would happen. And he said that the people would blame the Christians and the Jews for the policies that this current administration would put into place. And so I was shaken by that. And I said, Lord, I said, well, wait a minute, you know, what about the Christians or the Jewish people that, you know, don't fall for this or didn't vote for this president or whatever the case may be? And the Lord told me, he stopped me, like he interrupted me, and he says, it's not going to matter. No one's going to ask if, you know, you did you vote for him or do you like, nobody's going to do that. He says they're going to, it's going to be like one umbrella. Like, and he, I said, well, I felt like it wasn't, you know, totally fair. That was, those were my thoughts at that time. And he said that he was going to allow this to happen. And he said, because I must judge the church in America. Okay. So that was December of 2016. So I did two programs at the time. I went on a radio show in December 2016 and I spoke about this Tribulation Now, I believe it was. And then I did another interview, I think it was Prophecies of the End Times. I believe I spoke about it on that one. And that one wasn't until January of 2017. But the Tribulation Now one was in December 2016. And I know there's several of you, if not many of you, who have heard this, you know, you guys listened to that program back then. But I'm repeating this because there may be those who, you know, weren't following me back then or had never, you know, heard of what I had said or just newly found out about myself or Faithful Walk Healing Ministries. So I wanted to repeat that, what was shown to me nearly 2 years ago, because not only has part of this come to pass already, but the rest of it is about to come to pass. And that's why I'm opening up with this to you today. And that's why I said there are going to be many of you that are going to hear this and you're going to be upset about it and offended and or you're going to laugh it off or you're going to say that I'm a false prophet or I don't know what I'm talking about, I'm cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs or whatever. I really don't care. I've never cared, but I specifically don't care about this because I have to warn you and I have a job to do. And so when it happens, you cannot tell God that you were not warned. My hands as of today will be washed clean as far as the church in America is concerned. And these final warning, in this final warning to the church. The body and the bride is within the church, and unfortunately, or maybe not, it's separate. I know that the bride, at least I hope that the bride will listen. The Bible tells us, you know, there's a scripture repeated again and again in the Revelation chapter 2 and 3, where we're told, you know, that, I'm sorry, to listen to what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the churches in this season, okay? In Hebrews chapter 3 and Hebrews chapter 4, the Lord repeatedly says, you know, when the Spirit of the Lord speaks, to harden not your hearts as the Israelites did, okay? So that is my disclosure to you. And this, that you not harden your hearts and that you not ignore what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the churches in this season. All right. Let me tell you the word that has been given to me over the last 3 weeks. It is one word. It is tackle. Tackle, tackle, tackle. Tackle is found in Daniel chapter 5 at verse 27. Okay, if you guys want to write that down. Many of you probably know that story. It is the story of the handwriting on the wall with King Darius when the Israelites were in captivity in Babylon. And tekel means you have been weighed in the balances and been found wanting. The Lord is saying tekel to America. Tackle, tackle, tackle. You, America, have been found wanting. And that you've been weighed in the balances and you have been found wanting. The Lord spoke and he said, it has begun. And when he said this, it shook my soul. I wasn't afraid, but I understood the reverence and the power in what he was saying. It has begun. Well, what has begun? It has begun. You take that to the Lord, and I'm not talking about when. Let me clarify that. It has begun. It is not a reprieve. It's not an outpouring of blessings. It's not. It's it's another wave of judgment. Let me just clarify that. I'm not even going to tell you to take that to prayer. You take everything that I give you to prayer anyways for confirmation. But it is judge. It's another wave, another level of judgment, a tsunami of judgment. Let me put it that way. This one is big. We have seen waves of judgments come up on this land the past few years. Especially, we saw terrible things happen last year. We had terrible storms that came through this country and caused a lot of devastation. We had historic fires that blew through here and tore up the wine country, burned it to the ground. We had a terrible winter. You know, we've had a historic storm again. You guys know I'm in the Carolinas. We just got through Hurricane Florence. And, you know, and then it came, you know, during the High Holy Days. This is the third year in a row that we've had storms coming during the High Holy Days. Last year before last, it was Hurricane Matthew that came during the High Holy Days. Last year, it was Irma. I mean, we had three storms, Harvey, Irma, and Maria. And two of those three happened during the High Holy Days. And we, of course, had that mass shooting. I forgot about the mass shooting. I don't know how I forgot about that. It actually happened on Yom Kippur, the mass shooting that happened in Las Vegas. It was the nation's largest mass shooting ever on Yom Kippur. And then this year, we had Florence come in during the Days of Awe. And then, of course, it came into the coastlines of North and South Carolina, and they're like, oh, what was going on with them? That was judgment to the coastlines. Listen, the coastlines of North Carolina, not just the coastlines, in the mountains here, up in the Appalachian Mountains, there we have a high density of witchcraft. In fact, one of the cities in North Carolina actually has the highest percentage per capita of Satanists. Yes, I said that, Satanists. We have a high density of Wicca here, not necessarily in Charlotte, but in the Carolinas and up in the mountains. We still have people that very much practice witchcraft in circles and sacrifices during this season. And we have a lot of people on the coastline that have dealt with witchcraft. And so just like New Orleans in 2005, where Katrina came in and washed out a lot of that, well, guess what? It happened to us in the Carolinas. Now, you have to understand that in his judgment, he is merciful. God allows judgment because he is merciful, okay? Judgment is here not because he hates us. Judgment comes because he loves us, because he does not delight in seeing that any of his little ones perish. Judgment comes because it gives us an opportunity to repent, because obviously we're not volunteering to repent in the what we consider to be the good times. And so God has to shake us to our core to get us to wake up. People have claimed that America has repented, that this is the reason why we got our current administration. That is untrue. But see, God is, he's so merciful and he's so patient. And yes, he granted the wish, if I want to call it a wish, of people who prayed this president in. But one of the things that the Lord told me 2 years ago about why this president would be in, he said he would be here to reveal the secrets of the heart of men. And when I say men, I mean mankind, the church itself. And it has, because what has happened in the last 2 years is that the church itself in America has become more divided than it has ever been in its history. This country has been more divided. We haven't been probably this divided since either the Civil War or the Civil Rights Movement. And it's more than just race. It's male against female. It is liberal against, you know, conservative, it's left against right. So all these different names and titles for all these different people, but it at the end, it equals division. We've been divided and divided and divided again. So we're not just 50-50. We're like divided and then divided and then divided, okay? And it has impacted the church as well, but God has allowed this separation because we must remember that Jesus said, I did not come to bring peace, but I came to bring a sword. He said to separate mother from daughter, father from son, in-law from in-law. He also reminded us that our worst enemies would be the members of our own household. And that is twofold, because that's not just your biological household as far as, you know, like who lives in your, at your address or part, your, you know, your apartment number or condo number, what have you. But it will also pertain to even those who you consider to be your spiritual family. Okay? Remember that the wheat and the tares and the sheep and the goats and the wise and the foolish, they're all a part of the same place. And people think that it's those parables that Jesus talks about in the Gospel of Matthew are referenced to the world versus the church. And that is untrue, because the Bible is not written for the unbeliever. It is written for the believer. And so wheat and tares have to do with people sitting up in the same church. And some of y'all are wheat and some of y'all are tares. Some of y'all are wise. Some of y'all are foolish. Remember, there were 10 virgins. They were all chasing. They all were waiting for the bridegroom. They all knew he was coming. They all had lamps. But five were wise and five were foolish, okay? And so it is a separation that God is allowing. He is allowing this president to cause a massive, massive separation. You guys have heard me talk about this before this year, about the rise of the idolatry of this administration. God is very displeased with the level of idolatry that has gone and taken place in men's hearts and minds regarding this man. It has gotten to the point where now they are making him into a god, and people will sit here and they will argue with you. They will say we're not, but I'm telling you, God is searching the hearts and the minds. He said, I try the hearts and the reins of men. He's the one who searches us in the midnight hours. And again, Tekel, 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 you have been weighed in the balances and you have been found wanting. The Lord spoke to me and told me that there is a famine coming. Now, earlier this year, I know a lot of you guys know about this. I wrote about it. I spoke about it. In February, he told me there were going to be massive floods coming. In March, he told me there were going to be fires. In fact, while I was in the Dominican Republic in March of this year, I saw fires all over the country. I also saw a great deal of fires or homes that were on fire in the New England area, specifically Massachusetts. I wrote about it. You guys heard about those 100 homes that exploded several weeks ago in the Boston area. The Lord showed that to me back in March while I was in the Dominican Republic, which I go twice a year. And it happened while I was in the Dominican Republic in September as far as those houses. So he's given me these things. You know, when Hurricane Matthew came about 14 months before Matthew came, the Lord showed me Matthew that was coming. A lot of different things. I'm giving you this because I want you all to understand that these things in the last couple of years that he has given me didn't take years to come to pass. They came to pass very quickly. There are still things out there that are still pending, and they will come to pass in God's time. And let me tell you, I'm not putting no rush on some of those things because they are horrific things. Out of all the near 12 years that I've been in ministry, I've actually never heard the Lord ever tell me that a famine was coming. This was the first time I've ever heard this. And when I tell you, when he said famine, saints, I want you to understand, I know we talk about spiritual famines and there's a famine in the land for truth, and there is a famine in the land for truth right now because people are currently listening to Hananias and Priest of Baal, and that is the reason why this judgment is coming. But when I say famine, I'm talking about a literal shortage of food. Now, there was a major crisis that happened in the 80s. Some of you guys are too young to remember that. Some of us are old enough to remember it. I myself am old enough to remember the major famine that swept across this world, actually, in the 80s, where people began to starve all over the globe, especially in places in Africa. But there was lots of things that happened, and even in Bosnia or what have you. You know that even in Venezuela, the people are starving right now. They've become skin and bones. And so things are already beginning to manifest But the Lord said in this next season, we are about to see it in a greater, greater, greater scale. And yes, it is going to impact the United States. We're going to see shortages of food. I don't know to what extremity that is going to be, but I'm telling you all because you need to prepare. I don't know what event is going to cause, if it's going to be a particular event that is going to happen to us as far as this country is concerned that's going to cause it, or if it's going to be a domino effect of a string of events. These details I have not been given, but that's okay. You just need to know that a famine is coming, and you need to take it to prayer, and you need to ask the Lord to give you instructions on how you need to prepare, okay? How you need to prepare within this. A little small side note of something else he showed me, and I feel like this is a little less significant. However, I'm going to mention it because we're doing the video, and I never know when I'm going to do videos again. I did have a quick vision where I was standing outside of my door, and you guys know I live in the South, and so it's pretty mild. We have pretty mild winters here, and like right now it's October, and we're still in the 80s, near 90 degrees even today. I was looking outside my door, but it wasn't like my door. I don't know, it was weird. It was like it was my house, but it wasn't my house. And I was looking up the street, and it was a bright sunny day, and the grass was green, and there was leaves on the trees, and everything looked beautiful and nice. But it wasn't hot, but it was nice. And then I blinked my eyes, and then like instantly within front of me, I saw snow, and I saw feet of snow, okay? And like I saw people coming out their houses, and they were like totally shocked. Like it happened so suddenly, and so like it was almost like overnight. And I heard it will happen suddenly, okay? And I even saw like people trying to walk their dogs, and like the dog got buried in the snow. Like I saw how high the snow was. And so I do understand that for many of us here in this country, we're gonna see a brutal winter, even unusual snow perhaps in places that normally doesn't see a lot of snow, like Charlotte, and perhaps other places. I know you guys up north, you guys are used to a lot of snow up in the Northeast especially, but some of these places that typically don't see snow, we will see snow, and it won't be just a dusting. So I know if you guys hate winter as much as I do, then you know to prepare and pray. I always feel like the Lord likes to prepare me for winter because it's like the worst season of my life. I can't stand winter. But I will tell you this, just for the record, the last time the Lord gave me a vision about a massive snow coming through was probably about 4 or 5 years ago. And we actually had a really brutal winter that year. And I mean, it was bad. And so that was the last time he actually took the time out to tell me, listen, it's going to be a really bad winter. And when I say we, I don't mean just where I was currently located. And I wasn't even in the Carolinas at the time. I was in the D.C. area, but as a whole, as a nation. So this is the second time he's come to me and shown me this. So it's, you know, I talked about in the beginning of this year how the Lord told me that the natural disasters would continue this year, and they would be in extremities. And that was what I was talking about, that everything would be extreme, okay? And it has. Everything is extremely, this extremely dry. I mean, I'll go back and talk about how we had got all this rain in the beginning here in Charlotte. And I was sitting in my car one day, and I was looking at my large lawn, and I was saying, oh Lord, you know, I thank you, I don't have to, you know, pull out the hose or whatever to water my lawn and keep my water bill low. And as soon as I said that, like I blinked, and in front of me I just saw everything just shrivel up, dry up, burn, like it was gone. And I even talked about that on a video, one of the last two videos or so, that I did take what I've been given. And I know that God is telling me it's this, and they try to change it, and they made it that. Okay, and I can even joke about it and talk about how when I wrote about me seeing the snow coming, And someone said that it represented an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And I'm like, no, it just means the Lord's showing me that we're going to have a bad winter. So I can make things very clear before we have all the spectators that try to come out and try to tell you how you can prophesy and how you can. All to me. God is saying, though, and let me tell you, let me give you a disclosure on that. Everybody that think they ain't surrendered to him haven't surrendered to him. Okay, so you need to do some soul searching, myself included. Okay, no one is immune to this word. No one is, what is it, eliminated or whatever they used to have, immunity. No one has been granted immunity from this word. Those who have sold out to the Lord, and let me tell you something, there's very few, because right now we're seeing such a great division in the church, and brother against brother, sister against sister, I mean, pastor against pastor. It's pathetic. And it's putrid in the eyes of God. It really is. The arrogance. Oh, my God. You know, I need to remind you all that the manner that you judge, you will be judged. And I need to remind you all of that. And, you know, we always talk about that. You know, we hear a lot from the unbeliever. You can't judge me. I'm talking to the believers right now. You need to be aware that the manner that you judge, you will be judged. Make sure that them logs and them redwoods and them whole entire forests are cleared out of your eyes before you start judging your brethren, saints. You better make sure your junk is squeaky clean. And let me tell you something. If you in your own house making sure it's clean, you ain't going to have time to be worried about what's in your brother's house. Okay? He said, I will reserve and lift my children up. Okay, he will preserve his own in this hour, but I just need to reiterate, there's only a few, and you all who are that few, the Lord will give you instructions on where to go and what to do, and that's all I'm going to say on that. The rest of you better repent. The best of you better get your heads out of the sand. Come up off your high pedestals, your high horses. Come down off of your mountains. And you better rent your clothes and put on sackcloth and put ashes over your head and repent. Because it's coming. It's already here. It's already begun. There will be those who will be Rahabs in the midst of this judgment. Those who were not aware of the coming judgments, yet their faith will save them. Their faith will save them. These will be the unbelievers. These will be those who have not been in the church. Those who... you know, maybe even what y'all are always fighting against, maybe some of these liberals that y'all call, you know, you like to classify people, okay? I don't care about what side of the fence of the political realm you're on. All I care about is, do you love Jesus, okay? But some of these people that y'all think are so diabolical that you've judged in your hearts against, they will become Rahab. There will be a few that will become Rahabs in this hour, and God will spare them. He will spare them and he will save them. Woe unto the inhabitants of the earth. Woe unto those who have said there is peace when there is no peace. The Lord spoke and he said, I am that I am. You all, This is very, very, very serious. There's a war coming. There's a war coming to Israel, which the Lord has spoken and told me about it a couple years ago. I was in prayer with, a year and a half ago, I was in prayer with a good friend of mine, and the Holy Spirit hit me so heavy. It was like 1 o'clock in the morning. We were on the phone praying, and Lord began speaking through me, but he showed me this very vivid vision of Israel going into a full-scale war. This administration has been chosen by God, just like all the rest of them. God says he is the one who chooses the kings who will rise, who will fall. Promotion comes from above, okay? You guys need to understand that he has allowed everyone that's on the chess board to be, okay, including Satan himself. Everyone is going to play their role in this hour. Everyone. There's talk of a peace treaty coming up within the next 4 months. I personally do not know how successful or unsuccessful that will be, but I will say this. Every time a president of the United States has even tried to push an emphasis of dividing Jerusalem or giving up land in Israel, catastrophe has hit this nation. There has been 10 accounts of that. 10 recorded accounts. I don't know if it's going to succeed or not. My thoughts are only the Antichrist can actually make a peace treaty, but I'm not even really sure if dividing Jerusalem is a part of the peace treaty, the false peace or not. I'm not sure. Because one of the things that I have learned as I mature in Christ is that his ways are not our ways, and his thoughts are not our thoughts. And that even with the book of Revelation, the book of Daniel and Ezekiel and the prophecies that Jesus gave in Matthew and Luke and John and, you know, about the end times, and even in 1st and 2nd Thessalonians and even in Corinthians by the Apostle Paul, we can only really guess. We can give educated guesses as to how things are going to unfold and when they are going to unfold. At the end of the day, it is God's timing, and God is bound by no time because he created time, and he created time for us. And he created the sun, the moon, and the stars for appointed times and seasons as signs and omens to us. So
all right, that's basically it. And that was the prophecy that the Lord had given her, that bad times are coming. And she's right in the sense that we all need to be checking our hearts. Of course, we've been talking about that for quite a while. And foreboding type of a word, but those who are running after the Lord have surrendered everything to him. There's nothing to worry about, is it? So we just take it for what it is. Now, I don't know if I told you or not, she's got some doctrine that's kind of out there. It's not completely compatible with what the Word says, but the Lord's working her on that, has been for quite a while. So we just, Lord, I just thank you that you're going to have all of the people here ready and prepared for when this thing starts, and I thank you for it, Father. I believe your word, Lord, that says we're going to have earthquakes, we're going to have natural disasters, we're going to have all kinds of bad things that happen. But those that have surrendered their lives to you, Father, you said you're going to protect them. You're going to encapsulate them in your love. And I believe that. And I believe, Lord, that you've placed it in all of our hearts to run after you and to surrender everything to you, Lord. Everything. And Father, if there be any kind of darkness in our hearts, I ask that you show us so that repentance can come and we can get it right and be of the be in this bride anointing that's going to help a lot of folks. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Now just open it up. What do y'all think about it? Have y'all heard these before?
Hey, Michael.
Yes.
I haven't met this lady. Is she live with us right now? Or I just came in late after talking to David.
No. It came from YouTube.
Okay. I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. Yeah. Mina Lee Graben is who it is. You may know of her. And it's her latest word from the Lord, and she's been pretty accurate in the past. A lot of things. But like I was saying, she's got some screwy doctrine that Lord's working, you know. I get kind of tickled sometimes that the Lord mess with her mind. He'll tell her some things that are going to happen, and she'll say, well, the tribulation hasn't happened yet, Lord. How can that be? You know? Lord just kind of zip it up. So you better get in your word, girl. Better check it out, you know. He didn't tell her that, but that's what he's thinking, I'm sure. But anyway, that's why it's imperative that we get into the word and find out these things, right? So we've got another wave of judgment coming, according to Mina. I believe it. I know what's happening. And this one judgment's coming up the Gulf now, headed toward the panhandle of Florida. Fixing to come up through the southeast portion of the United States. This is this terrible, terrible hurricane called Michael. And it is. They named it Michael. I was surprised at that. And it's like God. You know, if it's like God, he's going to come through there. He's going to shake some folks up, isn't he? So, but that's what Mina was talking about. He's going to shake up some folks. So I just pray that it does happen. Lord, I thank you that this will open people's minds up. And I'm kind of like Mina. Once it starts, I don't believe it's going to stop. You know, I think we're going to have judgment coming one right after another. And we have been, actually, if you think about it. Okay, anybody want to say anything about what we heard?
What did she say about in the beginning about the laws or something about that? Did she say something about that was put in place? It's going to put judgment on a church? Did I catch that right?
She said that the Lord told her that the word was tekel, T-E-K-A-L, which is the word that coming out of Daniel chapter 5.
Right.
And the word means weighed in, and what is it?
Weighed and deficient or wanting.
Yeah, weighed in the balance, but you're deficient. And you're lacking.
I thought she said something in particular about some kind of laws that the president, meaning the current administration, was going to push. Maybe that had something to do with martial law or something. I don't know. Did she say something about that at the very beginning? Anybody catch that? I thought I did.
Well, she might have been talking about over in Israel.
All right.
Tim.
Yeah, I made a couple of notes when she began there, and one of the things that she had said that Dave is referencing, I think, is that certain policies and laws will be enacted first before these judgments and before the people turn on each other. And it sounded like seizing the assets of the Christians or something like that is what she was referring to. But she did mention laws and policies will be enacted.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. She sure did.
And she said something about how that's going to affect the Christians.
Yeah.
Including the, well, she said everybody. Didn't matter where you're at, it's going to affect everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and she made a good point, you know, and it's one that we need to remember, and that's we don't need to get our eyes on man or Donald Trump. We need to get our eyes on Jesus. And I believe that we have, and I believe that what we do is what the Lord tells us to do, and that is to pray for him, that God would protect him and to steer him and give him discernment as to what to do. And that's about the best we can do, isn't it? And believe for him. I, for one, like his policies. I don't care a whole lot about his tweets and stuff, but I understand the tweets are for playing that little game that they do, you know. He's a gamer. But anyway. Joe, I heard something today, Joe and Nora, Brent, I heard something today that South Africa fixing to get some relief, I believe. There's been a word from the Lord about that, and he's fixing to straighten out that administration there. So we can look for that and believe for that, can't we? Well, that's what we pray. Okay. Is anybody else got? Yeah, Joe.
Well, I got two things. A prayer request from what she said. You know, I kind of sent something. But first of all, I think what she means, would you agree with this? I guess with the words we've been getting, and you know, what the Lord's been telling us. I'm not saying what I mean. Just the Christians in general. It's not all of us, but I think I've heard David say, and I think he said, no, he didn't say this past weekend, but I know he said he, you know, the Lord's told him there'll be church burnings. But I guess, you know, what the world thinks is Christianity we understand that's the faction. You think that's what she was talking about? You know, majority, how, like, you know, when the Lord brings these judgments, it's to deal with the faction, like with the disease, well, X, and all that
stuff? It's to deal with the harlot.
Yes, the
apostate church. That's the ones that believe that a sinner saved by grace.
Yeah.
That's exactly. You know, and that's also any of them and all of them that are in wrong doctrine. The Lord is going to pull his chosen out of those.
Yep.
And there's going to be quite a number of them come out of those apostate church. But as far as the burning of churches and stuff, yeah, that's going to be at the end when the beast turns on the harlot, and
okay,
and all that stuff takes place. Do what?
That'll be later down the road, but that won't be this.
Well, I know I don't doubt that they want their burnings of churches even as we speak. You know,
true.
I don't doubt that there's going to be a. There already is. I mean, if you go ask the left.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of them. I'm not saying all of them. All of them aren't like it, what you see on TV.
No, yeah.
But they just seem to kill all, line up all the Christians and shoot them.
Yeah.
But that goes all across the world. They're doing that in China. The communists are doing that. In other countries, too.
Yep, yep.
Muslim countries are doing it.
Exactly. Yeah, I had one last or a prayer request, and I think the Lord was, you know, it sounds like this was the Lord revealing it to me yesterday, and then right as she began to speak, I've heard this woman speak before, you know, mainly, and it, you know, I think she said something before I wasn't sure of, but I guess you know, God can tell, because I think she said about a year or two ago that Obama would be the last president before the tribulation. But then I thought, well, hey, that was before God gave us this, you know, reprieve. So I sense, well, I mean, God was dead set on judging us, but then all of a sudden he said, no, I'm gonna put my, you know, he put his foot in the door and said, hold up, I'm gonna give you some time to prepare for what is coming. So, you know, I assume, well, maybe that's what's, you know, maybe that's why, you know, in that sense. But I guess what I'm getting at is yesterday, and I've had these feelings before, you know, like I've said, I was abused by my mother for so many years. And I've always had a very, I mean, you know, it's still to this day, I've dealt with it, but it's, I guess, any kind of correction, you know, I mean, I had a boss who, you know, a woman for a little bit. That was during the time, my first year, second year, I believe, at my current job, that was, you know, that was some real crucifying times for me. But pray for me. I just, you know, just my attitude towards women in general, you know, I mean, as okay. there's probably still some hatred in there. But I mean, at first when she spoke, it was hard to receive. You know, I'm not saying she's a false prophet. It's just with my past, you know, I wanted to deal with that, you know, want to confess, hey, I still have that at times. Or it's, if God is speaking from a woman, you know, and you know how he does that, I'm still not 100% clear. Still learning, you know, with, I mean, I understand, of course, women are not to be in roles of authority over men, but when he uses it, you know, I don't want to have that wrong attitude. Like, oh, well, here we go. Here's another woman speaking, you know, I want to, you know, I mean, I want to confess. Yeah, that's still a temptation at times, just to cut them off and say, well, you know, just because of my past, I'm not going to listen to when God is using a woman like mainly, you know, however it is. So thought I'd confess that, you know, and ask for prayer.
Okay. Yeah. Well, God can speak through anybody, and he can speak through women. He spoke through a donkey we know of.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we can we can believe that. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, we lift up Joe to you, and we command this critical spirit out of him, according to women. And Father, we thank you for that judgmental attitude to go in the name of Jesus. We command that spirit of unforgiveness toward women, toward his mama, to go from him in the name of Jesus. And any kind of aught in there against women whatsoever is wrong, and Lord, we thank you for taking it from him, and we just praise you for cleansing Joe of all of these tormenting spirits that he's dealt with over the years. Amen. And Lord, especially we ask, Lord, that you help him to take care of that unforgiveness toward his mom. Yes. In the name of Jesus, and we just praise you, Father, for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I agree.
Anybody else want to pray? Yeah, go ahead, Pat.
The Lord gave me a scripture over there in John. It was actually in 14, John 14, 6. And as you were talking, Joe, it reminded me, it kind of reminded me of when I, back in my early days, when I was in the church, in the Baptist church, and it became very clear to me that I was in an apostate system. Even at that time, I, as a young Christian, the Lord opened my eyes to see that, basically. So my first question was, well, where do I go? I mean, where do you want me to go? This is where you led me. Now, where do you want me to go? And he told me to stay right there. And I kind of didn't understand it, but I figured, well, okay, he knows what he's doing, so I'm going to stay right there. And he was showing me, he was slowly but surely revealing to me the rebellion and the critical critical attitude, not just a critical, it wasn't a critical attitude, but it was a biting, sharp, defensive, cut somebody's knees right out from under him type of verbal approach, so to speak. I don't know how to explain it, but it was, I didn't take correction very well at all. And so the Lord left me under that, shall we say, that heavy hand or that hard hand over my life. And I found myself, for the longest time, repenting and having to go to my pastor. I seriously lost track of how many times. It had to be at least a couple times a week. I go to my pastor and ask him to forgive me that, you know, about whatever it was. You know, it was always something. It was a critical. I think part of the thing was is that the Lord was showing me things, and they weren't being received. I mean, I would come excited to share what I had learned, and I was rejected. And of course, I didn't. It brought out that bitter, defensive, critical spirit in me, and I really praise the Lord because He used that time to humble me and grind that out of me, but to show me that. But through that process, again, I would just out of frustration and you know, throwing up my hands and crying to the Lord, you know, what is, you know, where do you, you know, I can't handle this. Where do you want? I'll go anywhere you want. Where do you want me to go? I'm ready to, you know, go to a full gospel church or this. But He said, when I get ready to move you, I'll move you. I'll take care of that problem. So I sat in that thing and listened to that, and it became very clear to me at the time that even though I don't recommend this for anybody, and I'm certainly not promoting this as an alternative, but the point is that when you are sitting under a teacher and you know, you are listening to the Spirit of God and you are reading the Word and you're listening to the Lord teach you about what you are being taught. And as long as you have your ear on the Lord, it doesn't matter what kind of example He uses up in front of you in the pulpit, so to speak. And so at that time, it just became very clear that the Lord wants us to listen to Him as He's speaking. And when people are speaking to us, whether it be a woman, a man, a television show, or, you know, anything, we can hear what the Lord is speaking to us and using that as an example in our lives. So I was reading today, actually it was yesterday, in John, because this was kind of the clenching scripture that the Lord used in my life to bring me to Him. When I was reading through the scripture, I come up on John 14:6, where just before they said, Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not where you go, and how will we know the way? You have to read the previous parts of the chapter to understand where that is. But this, Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes unto the Father but by me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From henceforth you know him and have seen him. And Philip said unto him, this was the verse that got me yesterday. Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. And Jesus said unto him, have I been so long a time with you, Philip, and you don't even know me? He that has seen me has seen the Father. How sayest thou, show us the Father? And Jesus was being a little abrupt with Philip, but he's also bringing up a point that the Father is living in Jesus. That the Spirit of God, that God was living in Jesus. He knew it, and he expected his disciples to know it as well. And it was a fairly important point, because the next verse he says, believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words I say unto you, I speak not for myself, but the Father abiding in me doeth his works. And then he said, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or if that's too hard to handle, if that's a stretch beyond what you're able to deal with right now, believe me because of the very works. He kind of gave them an option there. But the option is believe him. Believe him. Truly, he that believeth on me, the works that I shall do, he shall do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto the Father. And the thing that hit me today as I was reading that, it just seemed to that the impact of believing that we, because Jesus speaks and prays, I think in John 17 in his prayer, that we are one with him and the Father, and that to be one with him and the Father, you have to be, you have to be at one or at peace inside, is kind of the way it was hitting me. And I don't know where I was going with that. Unfortunately, I fell off the end, but
yeah.
That was just what the Lord was showing me today. So.
Okay. Amen. Well, I got one last thing before I go. When I say, I don't want to leave any, thing out. I thought I'd just clarify. It's not all women, just to be exact, that I have trouble hearing from. I guess it's certain strong, confident personalities like that, Jezebel was very strong, confident. You could say arrogant, proud. The types you would see in authority. I guess basically, yeah, that perfect example, I guess, of, what I understand of Jezebel. But the calmer, submissive, quiet, ones, types of personalities in women, I don't have an issue with. I guess it's just the fact of like a strong outspoken, very confident, you know, confidence to like the level of arrogance. That's what I take issue with. I'm not saying that's how Mina Lee was, you know, I mean, but it's those are the types I have issues with. And I'm thinking, like you said, Michael, God can use anybody, you know, so if God were to use someone like that, I want to have a right heart and say, okay, I don't have anything against this woman. You know, God's using this woman to speak to me and somebody else. So, you know, I mean, yeah, I want to deal with that attitude, that, you know, unforgiveness, whatever. So just thought I would clarify to be exact about that. So,
yeah. Okay. Well, we prayed for you, so it's gone there, right?
Amen.
Amen. All right, yeah, go ahead.
I just wanted to clarify. Okay.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Dave.
I was kind of going through this, the book from, Bill Britton, the book on Hebrews, a book of better things. And he kind of, I came through this part of the chapter, and it was called People Praise. And I know we've heard about Merlin Crothers, and he's got awesome stuff on that. But the way Bill explains this kind of helps, I think, especially when we hear about Melina Gribbins talking about division, Tico, many in the far center, something like that, about wanting and been weighed in the scales, and now we're going to see this division going across the country. And Bill kind of touched down on that a little bit, and it's kind of good. It's starting on page 27, and this is a PDF file. It's, again, the Book of Better Things on Hebrews. He says, this is a new creation, man. We'll also follow Jesus in life of praise, not a lower realm of educated mental ascent to greatness and a fearful giving of what you think he requires, but the higher praises of God shall ring forth from lives that have been given over completely to God, from hearts that are overflowing with praises to our gracious and loving Father, and from spirits that have been caught up into his presence and are dwelling in the third heaven, the Holy of Holies. He says, Psalms 149:5-6 exhorts, let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and the two-edged sword in their hand. And it says in Ephesians 5:18, 18-19, he says, we read, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing, making a melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. He goes on to say, if God's people only knew what victory there is in praising the Lord, it drives away the spirits of darkness, despair, discouragement, defeat, and doubt. It heals the body and lifts the spirit. It fills the mind with thoughts of God and holiness and closes the door to the devil's suggestions of fear, uncleanliness, and sin. Satan cannot get into your mind to cause you to think evil thoughts or tempt you to sin while you are engaged in high praises of God. When I first was converted as a teenage boy, I was concerned about whether I'd be able to overcome all the temptations that I was facing. I had come from a broken home, out of a life of sin, and my old gang did not want to give up on me so easily. I'm sure he's talking about the demons around him, not only his friends also. We used to sing a hymn called, Take the Name of Jesus With You. I remember the second verse went like this, take the name of Jesus ever as a shield from every snare. If temptations round you gather, bring the holy name in prayer. Boy, I thought, this is for me. If it works, I have no troubles with temptation. Well, I won't say that I lived a perfect life all the time. But when the temptations came, and I remembered to get out my secret weapon, it was terribly hard to enter into sin while saying Jesus. I didn't know about praising the Lord, as we weren't taught along this line. All I knew about praising the Lord was when the saints would get up in the testimony meeting or praise service and say something like, I'm glad I'm saved, sanctified, and filled with the sweet Holy Ghost. Pray for me that I'll remain faithful to the end. I've been in this battle now for many years. I've learned a great deal about praising the Lord and its effective use in dealing with the devil. the new creation man will know how to praise the Lord. Blessed, it says, happy is the people who know the joyful sound. Psalms 89:25. Jesus knew how to praise the Father while his enemies compassed him about. He did not have to win a popularity contest in order to feel like praising. His praises came out of the fountain within him that never went dry. He spoke prophetically in Psalm 109, where we read the words of Jesus in verses 105, "Hold thy peace, O God, my praise, for my mouth of the wicked, for the mouth of the wicked and the mouth of the deceitful are open against me. They have spoken against me with a lying tongue. They compass about me about with words of hatred and fought against me without a cause. For my love, they are my adversities. But I gave myself unto prayer, and they have rewarded me with evil for good, hatred for my love." The following verses identify the speaker here as Jesus. As was Jesus, the pattern, so also the new creation man. Have I found myself in these verses? The Amplified Bible says, "They have spoken to me and against me with lying tongues, and they have rewarded and laid upon me with evil for good and hatred for my love." These principles are never more clearly seen than examples within our own local church, he's saying. Now, he was a pastor. I will not deal with the personalities of or site-specific cases, but only deal with the methods Satan uses in trying to destroy a man of God or a local church. We extend love, help, and hospitality to many people, only to have them turn on us later with such force and venomous hatred that it would almost shake our faith in humanity. This came from spirit-filled, supposedly, people claiming to be pressing into sonship. Each one of them felt justified in their actions towards us. They burned the telephone lines with malicious gossip and evil stories, yet would go to church and sing praises to God. The Apostle James says this ought not to be, James 3:10. These types go from house to house, discouraging the people, trying to tear up the church. Yet, when their efforts fail, they have to come right back to the church and would go up behind the pulpit as though nothing happened. They can partake of your hospitality, eat at your table, yet in a time of crisis will forsake you and believe and repeat ugly stories about you. Then when the crisis is over and the ugly stories have proven false, they come back, put their feet under your table again, and will never and asking for forgiveness or a sign of repentance. So what is a new creation man to do? Just keep praising God. For he walks in a realm of praise, not in the realm of complaints and self-pity. Jesus was not complaining or feeling sorry for himself in Psalm 109. He was made stating facts, telling it like it is, to let us know that we can expect this kind of treatment. But in spite of all this, he is a God of our praise. Glory to God. With all the hatred, opposition, and venom that has been poured out in our little church, you would think we would have been folded up and sneaked out of town to look for a more peaceful place. We just keep on praising God. Everything the enemy said, God disannulled. He says, what is the principle involved? God will disannul every word of Satan if you will only believe for it and accept it is done. You don't have to believe the lies of the enemy. You just keep on praising God. The more opposition you get, the more lies that are told on you, the greater the glory can come to you. Just stay out of the realm of self-pity and complaining. Don't receive words of death. Thou preparest a table for me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall overflow me in all the days of my life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Psalms 23. This is our inheritance. This is the privileged path of the new creation man. Just keep on praising our Jesus, the pattern son, who taught us this good way. You are part of a new creation in Jesus Christ. let us now proceed. He says, go on to the next chapter. And so I just thought I'd share that, you know, because we're going to see all this division and strife coming our way. But our focus is to stay focused on the Lord, praise Him during these times. If something comes up against us and Satan's in our heart and we feel it drowning us down, taking us to a depravity we don't want to be, now it's time to praise the Lord. Get Him out, praise Him, His name, praise Him for overcoming the victory we have in Him. Don't be taken up in what we're seeing around us and what our heart's trying to tell us or what Satan's trying to overcome us with. When we start praising the Lord, He's got to go. He can't stay in that realm of praise. And we enter in the heavenly of heavenlies. We become that new creation man. So that's our only defense in these things. That's what's going to help us pull through in these times. When we see this adversity, we see it attacking our hearts. We see it attacking our families, attacking our loved ones. We see it in our church or realm. We see spirit-filled people that may fall. We don't get in the way and walk with the Lord and start praising through these times and praising His holy name, we're going to be taken out. Just wanted to let you know this is our only defense now. Jesus had to go through it, and this is how he proceeded.
Guess I better unmute myself. Amen. That's a good day. Who'd you say that was?
That was Bill Britton. He's got this Hebrews. It says the book of better things, and that was starting from page 27 and went to 29.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Anybody else? Anybody got anything they'd like to share or talk about? Anybody been praying this week?
I'm hoping this ain't a word for me, but I did get a little insight into how people get that dumb spirit.
Okay.
Just reading through Proverbs 8, 35, it says, "For whoso finds me," talking about wisdom, "who finds me finds life and shall obtain favor of the Lord, but he that sins against me wrongs his own soul. All that hate me love death." And I just felt like there's such a culture of death probably all over the world, but you see it, you know, these people trying to claw their way into the Supreme Court, and they're so worried about protecting their rights to abortion, and that line of he that sins against sins against wisdom wrongs his own soul. It's like a hit to the mind and all of that. And then I've gotten a couple of times this week, the light shined in the darkness and the darkness comprehended it not. And I felt like that was wisdom and light shining on people. They're getting the right word, but they still can't get a hold of it. It's that dumbness, that stupid, some spirit of has really, you know, got to be battled. It's almost like being cut off, I guess. They've probably had the word and the truth shined on them so many times that they can't even be reasoned with anymore. So and I deal with that sometimes in my own close family and stuff, that they're just, I never even try to get into it with them, with politics, and you know, that's kind of the world they live in. And I do what we do, and they know where we're at and all of our stuff, and we're plowing. But I felt like God's given me some insight on that darkness and maybe how to fight against it, so I will see the captive set free. So that's all I got.
Amen. Yeah, George, that's you hit on something there that's been heavy on my heart too, and that's whatever goes on in the world is, you know, don't worry about it. I've quit looking at so much news like I used to. Of course, the Lord forgive me for it. I don't look at near as much news as I used to. I just glance through the headlines occasionally and see what the headlines are. A couple of things that I'm interested in, like the RV now, keep my eye on that a little bit. But as far as news, I just catch it here and there, and headlines, and see what's where it's all headed. But it wouldn't hurt God if you just completely gave up the news and started watching Him, you know, and start looking for Him and start chasing after Him with all your heart. And something else that he's been dealing with me, George, is I ought to be praying for these people rather than talking about the left with the stupid demons. Well, I'll be praying because even in that bunch, there's going to be people that come out and turn to Jesus and turn to God. And so it's the walk that he's got us on, and he wants us to be clean, and he wants us to be free of any kind of bondage and getting mad every time you look at the news, you know, of what's going on. And that's something I'm working on, and I hope everybody is. All right, anyone else? Yeah, Tim.
Yeah, I heard us talking about Proverbs, I guess it was 6. I went to Proverbs 8, and kind of a blending of Jesus describing himself, but he's part of his being is wisdom and the attribute of it. And I'm not going to know the whole thing, but from my notes here, I had that wisdom is a spirit, and I think it's in here, Proverbs 8 somewhere, but as you like in verse 12, it says, I, wisdom, have made prudence my dwelling, and find out knowledge and discretion. Here is the bull of pride and arrogance, and perverse mouth do I hate. Line after line after line of the attributes of wisdom. You know, delivered through the Spirit. Just if I'd encourage everybody to reread it. I haven't done it in a while.
Amen. Yep. But we do, you know, one of the things that we do need to know is that God puts in all the rulers, and He puts them in. Because of the way the people are sitting, you know. He put Trump in there. I believe that to help the Christians. Christians had begun to pray, but, you know, they slacked off a little bit. That's just the way it was in 9-1-1, if you remember. They started praying. It wasn't too long before they left the churches and back out in the world again. And this time he's going to shake them up to the core. And they're either going to turn to him or they're going to burn. A bunch of them are going to be put in bondage and jails and stuff. All right, anyone else? Yeah, Don, go ahead, brother.
I hear that term, the Antichrist, like that. You know, it. I think pre-trib right away.
Yeah, she is. She's pre-trib.
I don't know anyone else that does that. You know, they kind of keep everything at arm's length and don't have to look at all that.
Yeah.
kind of the impression I get.
Yeah, she's pre-trib, and she gets mixed up and confused sometimes when God tells her that the tribulation is going to be, you know, here or there or whatever. And I remember one word that the Lord gave her. She got all perplexed. She said, "Lord, but the rapture hadn't happened yet." He just kind of kept quiet. Confused her. That's been a couple of years ago, I think, that happened. But I think he's bringing her along. Yeah, Dave.
I think she's also involved. Her husband's somewhat, I think, Jewish a little bit, so they follow the Jewish holidays a little bit. That's why she talks about the high holy days and stuff. So they're kind of a little mixture of Judaism and Christianity there, too, and her what she does.
Are they Messianic Jews?
Yeah, they're kind of like that, but that's because he's Jewish. He's a Messianic Jew.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
That's
I might have known it, but I've forgotten it.
She follows all those holidays.
Well, I think she's filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay, she does have some good prophecies.
Right. I just say that not to so that people aren't offended when and she starts talking that direction. At least we know where she's coming from.
Right, yeah. Yeah. It's always best. And she'll tell you, too, just check your Bible. Anything I give you, you know. I don't know if she does any teaching or not. I don't know much about her other than what I've heard, just a few words that she's gotten from the Lord. Okay. Anybody else? Yeah, Joe, I'm sorry. I didn't see you there.
Like, flag it down.
Yeah.
Good. Now, I had a question for George. You brought up the, you, Michael, either or can answer. What are the characteristics of the dumb spirit? I remember Jesus cast one out of the man, you know, in the Gospels, the deaf and dumb spirit. You were saying basically, like, I guess with George, what you were saying, it's like people are unable to receive things. You know, when you call somebody dumb, you know, they're not quite – it's not registering mentally, I guess. Is that the characteristic? They're not quite grasping the truth and, you know, saying, well, that person's dumb because they're not getting it in their minds. I guess, would that be the characteristic of the dumb spirit, or is there something else in there?
I just look at it as a barrier where you could tell somebody something with, you would think it's just common sense, or you break down a word as simple as you could and you think anybody could grasp this, and they immediately just go to some catchphrase, trigger, something in their brain that just shuts down where they won't go there. They won't receive truth. And it's I'd take it as a spirit or some kind of opposition to truth, and it's just it's a spiritual battle. It's kind of like not even dealing with the person at that point sometimes.
Yeah.
It can be all kinds of levels of that, but I can't say I've got a lot of experience with it, but I'm looking out for it more and more when I see that these people, it's kind of like Jesus said, he looked on the multitude with compassion. They were like sheep without a shepherd, and it's kind of like that, where people, you can see the, they have no foundation. They have such a worldview of darkness that they can't even, you know, it's just every part of their life, and you wonder. You know, you really, it's almost like, but for the grace of God, there go I. It makes me see that God loved me enough to protect me and give me a little bit of the fear of the Lord growing up, enough to keep reaching for truth when it would come across. And it's only by his grace that I can stand. And that's where I start with those people. So I don't I'm not insulting them when I say something about dumbness. I might be calling it out wrong, but it's compassion. It's something where you see somebody captive to just a fog and an unwillingness to even be pulled out of it. And I don't give up. I don't feel helpless in confrontation with that. I just feel like, Lord, you've got to speak through me. I guess that's one thing I really wanted to, last couple of weeks with y'all, I wanted to encourage everybody and be encouraged to earnestly seek the best spiritual gifts, because without Jesus and without his spirit, we can't really do anything. But with one word from God, we can break through. We can gain a whole city with one victory that God sets up for us. That's all I got.
Amen. Amen.
Okay. Go ahead, Tim.
My short answer to Joe would be that, like, darkness is the absence of light. The dumb spirit is, it all goes back to the wisdom of Proverbs 8, the absence of wisdom. And the beginning of wisdom is the fear of God. So the people that have the dumb spirit, if you want to call it that, dumb, have not been, like George was saying, you know, it's through the grace of God that we've been given the fear of God, but he hasn't done that for them yet. And he may not, because they cannot be chosen, but those he chooses will at least have the opportunity. But they have not realized, you know, that they need to fear the Lord. And if once they realize that, then that the veil will be lifted. The shielding, blocking themselves off from the knowledge that came from a dumb spirit to a gift of wisdom.
Amen. Well, I give you my interpretation of what we call here the dumb spirit, and that's just because we've had a little bit of experience with the faction. And what we call the dumb spirit here, and you'll see out in the world too, the dumb spirit to us is when someone knows the truth and they and they choose not to go that route, and then God erases everything that they knew up to that point and sends them in another direction. For instance, we've had people that were filled with the Holy Spirit go into faction, end up in the Mormon church. We've had people that were filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, seeing visions and doing all that stuff, go into faction and go back in under the law, Messianic Jew. We've seen all kinds of people go into faction, and the one thing that's notable about all of them is this: God erases whatever truth that they had out of them. Now, at some point in time, he may put it back. I don't know. But it just makes complete I don't know of other word to use other than he just erases what truth they had. And then they go on and do whatever it was that they, you know, that they feel led to do. And that's what we call it here. And they don't make any sense when you talk to them. They don't want to talk to, I just say they don't want to talk to David at all. And that is the one thing that is inherent in every one of them. The two things, that's the wiping clean of the slate, and also don't want to talk to David. And if you think about it, you can't carry on a conversation with them about the Word of God like George was talking about, because the Word of God doesn't make any sense, the truth of the Word of God doesn't make any sense to their natural mind, because the New Testament is written for the spiritual people of God, and they just don't understand it. Now, if you look out in the world as a parallel, you could see right now you've got people out there that you can, that they're protesting. What are you protesting? You know, and they, some reporter went, what are you protesting for? And they can't give you a specific answer other than to call people names and use long $15 words to express their anger at whatever it is that they're angry about. And it's just, it's amazing to me to sit back and watch what's going on in the world. Yeah, Dave.
Again, I just want to share something for Bill Britton here real quick. Kind of, I understand George's frustration. I face it too with some family members. You just, you know, you think, why can't I share this? Why can't I even just read scripture without you blowing up, you know, because they're supposed to be Christians. And Bill Britton got some interesting things. He said, when I had time to travel, I could only be two or three nights in each place. I cried to the Lord, what can I possibly tell folks about these end time truths in three nights when you've taken 30 years to pour these truths of sonship and overcomer into me? How much revelation can I give out in two or three sermons? And God answered him and says, son, you don't have to tell them all you know. You just minister the spirit of revelation. And after you are gone, my spirit shall begin to bring forth things in the word to them that they never seen before. You see, friends, you can minister life to people. When we're talking life, we're talking the word. And bring them up into a realm of spiritual revelation. We can share one with another. And by doing so, we all can be lifted up higher. Each of us has something that the other does not have. Preacher, no matter how humble you are, you must quit apologizing for your lack of ability and recognize that even in a conversation full of great preachers, you have something that the rest of the folks need. And you men of God with great understanding and ability, don't become high-minded and get to feeling self-sufficient. You must realize that the least of God's servants has something you need, something they can cause you to grow. We need one another. Burn that truth into your hearts and never forget it. I get letters occasionally from folks who've gotten so deep that they don't need the church, and some refuse to gather together with the saints of God, especially if there's any form of eldership or government or divine order. They inform me haughtily that they read only the Bible and certainly don't need my literature or messages. So they won't be reading this. They are deep, all right, deep in trouble. I've got news for you, friends. You need the Word of God that is speaking to me, and I need that which God is revealing in your heart. We don't need the mixture of the flesh or the dead traditions of the Babylonian and its system, or Babylon and its system. I'm writing to sons today. The rest of the church systems will not hear what I'm saying anyhow, but even the come outers can get in serious trouble if they think they can make it through this wilderness by themselves. So Joshua and Caleb believed God and were ready to go into the promised land 40 years before they actually crossed the Jordan. But they had to wait until God got the rest of the body ready to cross over. Some were not submissive and obedient, but God sustained these two faithful warriors while the others were dying in the wilderness all around them. He sustained them until they possessed the inheritance which their heart had claimed and their mouth had declared. When the time to come to cross the Jordan, they went in with the body, many of whom were immature and inexperienced compared to Joshua and Caleb. So I guess the gist of it is, you know, we get frustrated and we're thinking it's not going anywhere. We can't share anything. But, you know, it's God, the Spirit of God in us that's going to share it. And the word that we drop in somebody's heart, it may not be what we think is so beneficial. And things they may even drop on our heart, we're thinking they've got nothing there to share or whatever. But you know what? They're going to expose things and bring things out as a body that we need. So even the ones that aren't hearing, they might really be hearing. There's something God might be working in their hearts. So we just can't give up hope because I've seen it happen. And that's what Bill's saying here today. It's a body. Body ministry, and we need each other, and don't be discouraged. You know, your words of life make a difference. So just wanted to share that.
Okay, we need to pray right quick for Barbara. She's having trouble believing that Bruce is able to repent in the shape that he's in. But I've got I've seen it happen to people that were unconscious. Well, Lord, we lift up Bruce to you and Barbara. And we thank you, Lord, that you're working in Bruce. You've already done it. And I believe that you're not only working in him, you're talking to him. And I praise you, Father, that you are bringing him to repentance. If he hadn't already done it, I thought she told me she had already done it. She thought that he had already repented. But I just praise you, Father, for the work you're doing in George. I mean, George. George, too. And Bruce. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that Bruce is in the kingdom. Thank you, Father, for doing that for him and Barbara both. Lord, give Barbara rest in her heart. Peace in the heart that you're on the job. You know, you answer our prayers. And Bruce is going to the kingdom in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, go ahead. Who was that? Raise your hand, Andrew.
Andrew. No, I was going to see if this had something to do with what Dave just was talking about there. It's in Luke chapter 9, 40 and 41. And it says, this is when they found a guy healing in Jesus' name there. And they told him not to do that because you don't walk with us. So, but this is what Jesus had to say, some of this stuff about these people that are Christian also. For who is not against us is for us. For whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink, because in name ye are Christ's, amen, I say unto you that he shall in no wise lose his reward. So when we have fellowship here and someone gives you something of water here, he's going to get rewarded for that. And you can get rewarded from anyone, from the youngest of us to the oldest of us, you know. Everyone needs to share. And I'm in Mark, so that's why I remembered that one back there. And that's it.
Okay, that's exactly right. That's what we've been sharing with. Everybody's got a part. So let's do this, if y'all don't mind. Let's pray again for Thursday night's meeting, and everybody come in and let's see what we come up with from the Lord. I like to do it like this because we talk about so many various and different things, you know, when we do allow the Holy Spirit to lead us and direct us. But Lord, I just ask and I pray, Father, that you be with us from now until then, till we meet again, that you do give us new revelation, that you do, if we have answers, Lord, that you'd have somebody on here that somebody on here to have the answer. And I praise you, Father, for all that you're doing in all of us. Lord, keep us humble. Show us what humbleness is. And Lord, teach us all the attributes of Jesus and how to utilize them and how to walk in it. And we thank you, Lord, for doing that. We thank you, Lord, for the work you're doing in us now and all those that we've been praying for, Lord. We thank you that our prayers have been answered. And I ask and I pray, Lord, that everybody gets a good night's sleep tonight, that tomorrow morning they're going to wake up with supernatural energy in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for all you do. Thank you, Father. We love you, Lord. Amen. Good night, saints.